This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Christopher John O'Shea is here with me. Chris?
I am, Andrew Vincent. It's great to be with you.
And living well, Thomas Bonvasuto. Our prayers are with he and his family. Yep. His mother passed away a couple days ago. And they're going to be having the arrangements some tonight, some tomorrow.
Right.
And so we pray that they will find incredible peace and solace and comfort through this. She led a good long life.
I was going to say celebrate her life.
Let's celebrate her life. 93, I believe, right? Trudy Bonvasuto. She lived well, from
yes.
what I understand. Tom yeah. said she was led an incredible long life and had a wonderful husband. One child. Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvasuto.
You wish you envy that name, don't you?
Mine's okay.
Yes, I would say Andrew Vincent Tignanelli.
Vincent Gerald Tignanelli.
And then on the mother's side, you've got, I mean, you're 100%.
So. Paradiso.
And he could not claim that. He's only 50%. He's 50% in my camp.
Yeah,
he's
well,
got the
and,
Irish
and, you know,
going.
And the Irish blood offsets the Italian blood. So he's not even Italian.
It has that power.
It does. It does. You know.
Well, on the present thing. So, are you missing taxes from sunrise to sunset and beyond?
You know, I enjoy taxes. I enjoy
sure.
I enjoy looking at them and trying to figure out what we can do to minimize taxes for our clients. I don't like all the nitty gritty. You know, get it done, got the April 15th deadline
sure.
coming and all that
yep.
kind of stuff. That stuff drives me crazy, but I love looking at every single return that I get my hands on and try to figure out what's missing here. What can we do more? What, you know, and so forth. That's I consider that fun.
Sure. Well, you get there, you're the big picture and you drill down, and I start with the details and work my way back, so it takes me longer to think about the overall thing.
Yeah.
You know? But
yeah, I looked at one just the other day, and, you know, if I'm right, I think there's literally a $40,000 mistake on it.
Wow.
That the client sent us to review, and I like that kind of stuff. You know, that stuff is fun.
Sure. Well, yeah, when you can find something like that.
And it's easy. It's so easy to do in today's tax
right.
world because,
sure.
you know, no matter, I mean, you know, where our tax preparations aren't 100% perfect every single time, because we review our returns that we review after we've sent them out. And, you know, 6 months or a year later, we're working with that client and we realize we made a mistake and the client doesn't realize it. We tell them and we fix it, and, you know. And you know, I think a lot of people would want to let that just slide through because, you know, I'd rather the client leave me if they're upset that I pointed out a mistake to them that we made and it has to be rectified. But the laws are just too ridiculously complicated. They're just insane.
Yeah.
They are. They're insane. You know, the amount of detail and the amount of complication of the tax returns is off the charts. And it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, that's another story. We're on an open show tonight, Christopher. That means that our listeners get to be our guests tonight. They get to call in and ask their questions. Last week, we talked about all the different types of health care, Medicare A, Medicare B, Medigap, you know, and all those different types of things. And Jeff Scholl went through each one and explained how they work and how you pay for them and how they can be more expensive. And I think we're going to set for Jeff to come back and now talk about some of the planning strategies to make sure that you don't overpay for any of those different types of medical insurance, Medicare B, Medicare D especially. Because if your income rises, mm-hmm. you've got to pay more for them, and it could be a substantial amount more. And so we're going to do that in a couple weeks, but tonight we're on an open show. Our phone number is 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and be our guest and ask your question. You get to talk about anything you want to. You get to direct the conversation. So whether it's healthcare and planning for it in retirement, or whether it's IRAs or insurances or investments or anything of that sort, you know, anything that deals with personal finances, we're more than willing to discuss it with you and help you on that topic and answer your questions. And, you know, there anything. If it deals with your personal finances, we'll deal with it. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your question. There is nobody online, so now's a great time to call
sure.
if you want to call
it's
in.
It's the best time.
It's the best time to call because then you get the most amount of time to ask your questions. 410-922-6680, and we can just sit in silence and wait for the callers. I'm sure Anita would appreciate that.
It's very rare for you and I to be silent for too long.
No, Anita says, no, you don't dare. Go ahead.
How often can we be silent? We're in the same room together. Question came up the other day. I'm going to meet somebody in a couple days on college funding. I don't talk to as many folks as you do. So are you seeing any kind of trend specifically with the folks you talk to away from children just going to school wherever they want to go and the parents figuring out how to pay for it?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I think the number one trend is children going to two-year colleges or two-year community colleges and then going on to the university. I'm seeing that a lot with students. But, you know, you still have plenty of parents that, you know, say, little Joni, where do you want to go? And then I'll figure it out even if it bankrupts me. And I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many parents I have dealt with who basically cannot retire, will not be able to retire because they spent, you know, $150,000, $250,000, $350,000 educating children to go to college. And, you know, I don't believe they gave them any more opportunity than if they spent $80,000 putting those children through college. So
yeah, and the one thing that's surprising, in a way it is, in a way it isn't, is just the ones that are going out of state, because there's a lot of good schools here in Maryland.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's ones that you can go away, so you don't have to live at home if that's part of the puzzle too. But to just go to the next door state and pay out of state tuition is
and you know you know, the argument is that, you know, well, if little Johnny went to University of Maryland, they'll get lost. They need a small school environment. Well, there's plenty of small school environments in Maryland that are relatively inexpensive that you can and they can get. And if you let them go 2 years and then you can send them to another college. But, you know, I have an article on my desk that talks about, you know, the colleges in the nation that are the most generous and will actually pick up 100% of the tab for the student. I know one of my own, you know, family members. I'm not going to say whether it was a niece or a nephew or a brother or sister or whatever.
Yeah.
But I know one of my own family members had a child that had a 100% scholarship to an incredible university in the country. And yet he wanted to go to a different one that were offering him nothing, and that's where they sent him,
okay.
You know?
Sure.
And, I my head spins on that one. I just, heck, if you can afford it, great, you know, but...
But you never know. I mean, case in point, a young woman that I know went to a lot of good schools, was admitted to a lot of good schools, but got a significant, if not a full ride, to a local school. UMBC, very good school. They could have afforded to send her to the other one, but she's planning to go to medical school afterwards. You know, she's pre-med. And after year two, mother lost her job, and dad, his job got scaled back significantly. So all of a sudden now, she doesn't have to change schools.
Yeah.
Because she's got this.
She made a smart decision, and she knew that, you know, it was a great. Yeah, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that, you know. The statistics are in my opinion, and that since the 1980s, there's really no difference of graduating from a school like Towson University and Harvard, in my opinion. There are people out there that just heard that, and they're screaming at me, screaming, that's ridiculous, that's ridiculous. Undergraduate degree, I don't think there's a single bit of difference personally. You could say, well, look at the contacts they make and the connections they make. And yeah, I will say that that's a possibility.
And that's hard to argue. Right.
That is hard. But statistics show that a kid graduating from Towson University after 4 years, the average income of those kids to a kid graduating from Harvard isn't much different. Mm-hmm. An undergraduate degree. We can get back to that later. We're on an open show today. 410-922-6680. Finally, somebody called in, but we're going to have to wait and go to them in a second or two. If you want to call in and ask a question, we'll be here to answer your question, 410-922-6680. Right now, we're going to Nick Rehack in Traffic Take It Away. Nick.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Drew, your kind of music, Drew.
Yeah. Isn't that Walk This Way or
there
something?
There you go. There you go.
Or something like that. You know? I have no idea why we're playing Walk This Way, but that's what it is. Anyway, we're going to our callers, and I can't even read that. Maybe I ought to put my glasses on so I can read this.
There's an idea.
Sergeant Rock. In South
Carolina. I have esophageal cancer. I call Lester Consolving and Sergeant Rock. My name is Edward Clinton Hutch, UTC.
Okay.
I have 50,000 shares of Hutch Potato Chip Company. I have 200,000 shares of CVS. Also have 1,300 shares of BG&E Echelon.
Excellent.
Would you be my financial advisor? I have a $1 million term life I've left to my daughter, the FBI agent. She needs somebody to manage her money because I get $7,200 a month. I'd be willing to put $5,000 in your hands to invest for me. Would that be possible?
That's not the way we operate, so probably wouldn't be, because we're comprehensive advisors. We work with our clients in reviewing everything and work with them on all their finances, their estate planning, their income.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, but that's more something if you wanted to just invest like $5,000 or something, that's something that you would call like a Schwab or a Fidelity or a T. Rowe Price and you would invest.
I only deal with CBM people.
CBM? Oh, okay, well.
WCBM.
Yeah, well.
I've been listening to you for about 3 years.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
Intelligent young man.
Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, what we would do is we would look at everything. We'd look at your estate planning, your taxes, your portfolio, your insurances. We'd want to make sure
that
everything's in place. And if you come in and do that, we would definitely work with you, sir.
Okay.
All right.
The big thing is I have a term life policy. I paid $396 a month for 10 years. It's worth $1 million. Term life.
When's the 10?
Cash that in.
Well, there's nothing to cash in. It's just a matter of do you want to keep paying the premium until the expiration time.
It's paid off Metropolitan.
Yeah, I would have to see the policy to answer that. That's part of what we do in our financial physical when we do that. All right? So why don't you think about it?
Send me out some information.
Sure, but let me...
off the air.
All right, we'll put you on hold and Anita. That's your name? Is that your name? Anita. Well, get your information. Okay, Sarge? Take care.
Thank you
for calling, and we're going to hold, and we're going to Frank in Baltimore. Frank, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew.
Hi.
I have a question about investing in fixed income securities.
Okay.
Many people, you know, want a portion of their portfolio in fixed income, and how does one control risk? Specifically, if you buy short-term bonds, like governments, there's probably no risk. There's also not much of a return.
That's correct.
If you buy longer-term bonds, I think you can get about 2% on a 10-year treasury, maybe up to around 3% on a 30-year. If you're prepared to hold it till maturity, there's probably no risk. but you're limited to like the 2% or the 3%.
Now, you got to keep in mind, when you called in, you said you wanted to talk about bond funds.
Yes.
There is no maturity on a bond fund,
yes,
so you always have to be careful with that.
And that's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
A third possibility is bond funds or ETFs. Now, is there any way to invest in them and control risk? For instance, let's say you select a Vanguard government, long-term government bond fund. They probably have something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you buy it on a dollar cost averaging basis.
Right.
You know, maybe $300 every month or something like that. Does that at all control your risk, or?
Well, you have to define the term risk. And everybody, mm-hmm. there are lots of different people that define that term differently. Like, for example, the efficient market people, the passive investment people, define the term risk as volatility. How much can your portfolio go up in the good years, and how much can your portfolio go down in the bad years based on historical evidence? That's what they call volatility, and that's what they call risk. My opinion is that's balderdash. That's a good word. I like that. I ought to use that more often.
I can tell.
Anyway.
Yeah. So emphasis there.
I like the word risk to mean I understand the investment that I'm purchasing and the price that I'm paying for it to believe that I'm getting a reasonable amount of money for the price that I'm paying for the asset that I'm getting.
Okay,
and right now, 10-year and 30-year bonds aren't worth the price you're paying for them.
True. But here's the nut of the situation. Let's say you're investing systematically in a Vanguard long-term government bond fund, a long-term blue-chip bond fund, you know, whatever. They have a variety of bond funds. If interest rates start rising slowly and continue to rise, say, for the next 10 years, from about 2% on the 10-year treasury, say, to 6%, do you lose on all those investments?
It depends on how the bond fund manager is managing them. But you're absolutely right. If the duration of that portfolio is, let's say, a 7-duration portfolio, and interest rate moves a percent, every 1% move, you're going to lose a fair amount of money in that portfolio.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to lose, I think it's 7% for each 1% if the duration is 7.
Wow.
So, you know, now, if that portfolio manager is analyzing the risk and determining should he be more on the shorter term of the curve to the longer term of the curve or whatever, and he's hitting it well, you know, you might be able to minimize some of that downside. But bond funds proved a couple years ago when interest rates went up in 2013 that they can lose a reasonable amount of money. What were they down? 4 or 5% net that year, the U.S. Treasury investments.
Well, because most funds now have a charter. This is what they have to invest in.
Yeah.
So they're not giving them the flexibility to go short. They're saying they want to be
right
on the longer end. So if you're in a longer-term fund, sure.
Yeah, so
Frank,
in today's market, are there any bond funds, you know, that you'd recommend that have the kind of active management that could handle that risk?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. And I like Osterweis Strategic Income Fund. You should look at that. They've done a very good job in 2008.
Uh-huh.
They did an excellent job. And when the markets the interest rates went way up, on the junk bonds, they bought in and did extremely well during that. They have a great track record of controlling risk by understanding what are they buying and are they getting value for what they're buying. But remember, no matter how good a manager is, if you go into a really bad bear market, which I believe the bond market is going to experience someday in the future, because you can only manipulate markets for so long, and the Feds have been doing that, unfortunately, too long. And Frank, unfortunately, I have to roll along now. I got some other callers I got to take, and I got to take another pause.
All righty, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. Kevin, I hope you can hold on, but I'm at that bottom hour. I've got to take another pause, and I'm going to come right back to you if you'll hold on. But in the interim, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, and we're going to Nick Rehack again, find out what's happening with traffic.
Now
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Pulled the old silk shirts out there, Chris. You got it? We got a little globe spinning up here. Anyway, we're here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show, and Kevin could not hold until the end of that pause. So we have no callers online. If you want to call and ask a question, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask. And we're on an open show, so our callers are our guests. They get to determine the direction of this conversation. And we talked about, some stocks. We talked about some bond funds. Kevin wanted to talk about taxes, but I don't know what side of taxes. Also, I talked to a longtime listener just earlier named Steve, and Steve said he was going to be listening tonight. So I say hi to Steve.
Hey, great.
You know?
Great. You know, getting on the bonds, I saw there's an article the other day online that was saying people are investing in stocks because they feel they've got no other choice.
Yeah, and that's a scary thing.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's you. If the Federal Reserve has created an atmosphere where you feel your only choice is to invest in the stock market, that means that things are being manipulated. When that manipulation ends, it'll end ugly, and it always does. But in the interim, right now, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, and we have Steve in Pikesville. Not the Steve I was saying hi to, but another Steve. Steve, how can we help you?
Hi. I'm wondering if you have two professional couples who currently live in the same state, and one has the opportunity to take a job in another state that's not within commuting distance, and they'd like to purchase a residence there, maybe with a opportunity to both be there. Is there any tax strategies, say, if there's a year or two of long-distance relationship that you could file the married and separately to take a tax deduction on both residences?
Yeah, now it depends. It depends on the states that you're talking about, and you're in a good state to start with. That's hard to say, you know, that you're in a good state. You're in a good state to start with because Maryland does allow Maryland married filing separate, even though you may have filed federally married filing joint. Not all states will allow you to do that, but Maryland does. And so, therefore, if your wife is staying here in Maryland and you're moving to, say, Florida, where there's no income tax, and you were down there and you get your driver's license down there and you buy a home down there and you're there the majority of the time and you only come back to Maryland to be with your wife, or she comes down to Florida to be with you and you're here maybe 80 days of the year, absolutely, you could be income tax-free down in Florida, and she could just pay her own taxes on her own income with her own deductions here in Maryland. Yeah, there's plenty of tax strategies with that kind of situation. I don't necessarily know there's a great for relationship, but it definitely can be a good tax planning.
Yeah, well, I guess the other question, is there any federal implications to that?
No.
No.
No. No, you know, you can, one, the one that moves can possibly take the moving expense deduction if you move more than 50 miles away and, you know, you have certain expenses, et cetera, but you have to spend the money to get the deduction, so it's not necessarily a great thing.
Sure,
but I can't think of any federal that would happen because you're still filing a joint return federal. It's almost as if nothing happened federally. But state-wise, yes, absolutely, there are things you can do. Depending on the state you go to, choose the state wisely, my friend.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be.
Do you get to choose which residence out of federal that you can do the mortgage interest deduction on, or?
Well, you can take the mortgage interest deduction on both of them as long as your total mortgage balance is not greater than $1 million on the combined mortgages of both houses, or $1.1 million if you want to be technical about it.
No problem there. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you can. You own a house in Florida. Let's just use Florida still. House in Maryland. You have $200,000 here, $200,000 there. You can take the full mortgage interest deduction 100% for both houses and the both real estate taxes on both houses. Absolutely. That's not a problem whatsoever.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. That was very helpful.
All right, Steve. Good talking to you, and good luck to you on that one, my friend.
All Okay.
All right. We're going to, we don't know what she wants to talk about. We're going to go talk to her anyway. Come on, Anita. What are you saying? We're going to talk to Janet. We're not talking to Anita anymore. Janet, how can we help you?
My name is Janice.
Janice. Yes.
But that's okay. I have a little bit of a problem, and I thought maybe you could help me make a decision.
Okay.
I have about $90,000. I'm 78 years old.
Okay.
I have about $90,000 that I can put my hands on. I have a few stocks, and I own my own home. I've allowed my family to get me into some credit card debt. It equals about $15,000, and it's driving me crazy because of all the interest. So what I need to make the decision on, should I make a loan and pay it off, or should I just take my savings and pay it off? I don't know which would be the better thing to do.
I'm assuming, Janice, that you're in excellent health.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And you promise you're not going to use those credit cards anymore?
No.
Right?
No, not going to happen.
All right. There's no chance those kids are going to, I call them the little money suckers sometimes, but you're not going to let those little money suckers take anything more out of you, right?
Absolutely not.
And then pay the loans off.
With my money, pay the loans off?
Yeah, I'm assuming you got the money sitting in a bank account.
It's in a savings account, yeah.
Yeah, and it's earning 0.01%.
Yes, basically.
Yes. And so you're paying a minimum of 5 to 20%. So, you know, whatever interest rate it is, it's a lot more than 0.01%. So pay the loans off, but promise that you're not going to use them anymore under any circumstance, no matter how much they need it.
Okay. Well, that helps me a lot. Helps me make a decision.
All right. Well, God
Thank
bless
so
there,
much.
My friend. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Well, that was an easy one. Where's the easy button?
Easy.
We're not allowed to use that. That's somebody else's thing.
That's
the
true.
Easy button.
Sure.
Yeah, so we're not allowed to use that.
You just said that was easy. Yeah, there's no B-U-T-T-O.
Yeah, Anita may be running in here with the plugola payola police and taking me out because I said that. I don't even understand that. They make me sign a statement about plugola and payola, and I have no idea what it means. But
sounds important.
I just signed it and say, okay.
It sounds important.
You know? Yeah, it does. It sounds very important. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. We have to take our last pause of the night, and we're going to Mark Thibodeau, but we have only one caller online. So
several
if you want to get in, we do have open lines. We'll be able to take at least two or three callers by the end of the show, 410-922-6680. Take it away, Mark Thibodeau.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yeah, that's probably the safest for you, Anita. Just stick with music like that, and then you can't really go wrong, you know? Anyway, we're going to have to work on her in that regard, you know? You work on that, Chris.
See, Anita, he would only give you a hard time because he likes you.
Anyway, we're here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We have a couple callers online, and we're going to Skip first. Skip, Skip, Skip in Eastern Shore. Skip, how can we help you?
Good afternoon. I wanted to make a comment on the lady that called a few minutes ago about her credit card debt.
Oh,
and
okay.
I run into a very similar situation that I had done. I ran into a few circumstances where I'd used my credit card, ran it up to almost $15,000.
Right.
And I was going to pay it all off. And unfortunately, or I should say fortunately, my savings wasn't in the savings account. It was actually in a CD, and I was going to cash the CD in to pay the credit card off. And Discover Credit Card had a offer where they had 0% interest for a year.
Okay.
And what I ended up doing was transferring the whole balance from my credit card over to the Discover card, and I'm making the payments. The interest rate dropped to 0%.
Yeah, and you're making what, 1% or so on your CD?
Believe it or not, I'm making 2.
Okay, so but here's the one thing you got to be careful about on that, Skip. 0% interest rate offers are wonderful, but you just got to make sure you understand all the rules. And I'm sure you do. You understand all the rules that you have to follow for that year to get the 0% interest rate.
Right.
And if you violate one of those rules during that period of time, retroactively, they'll hit you with an astronomical interest rate back to day one.
Right.
So that's just something you always have to keep in mind when you go for those 0% deals. They're not just free. They require a certain amount of obligation on your part to get the 0% for the full 12 months. There's something you have to do, in other words, is what I'm saying.
But they're also not indefinite.
And they're not indefinite. I remembered my friend Clayton, he would always have to use the credit card, I think it was twice a month or something like that. He had a certain amount of times he had to use his card each month, and if he didn't, then it would retroactively trigger to like a 15% interest rate. That was just his.
Gotcha.
There are others
sure.
that you just have to make sure you have make your minimum monthly payment each month on time. And absolutely on time, never be late, never miss it, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm assuming you're doing that, Skip, and I think it's a great strategy as long as you're meticulous in doing that.
Well, I'm not a meticulous person, but what I ended up doing was I put that on a bill pay through my bank.
No, well, that's wise.
So then automatically I pay it a week ahead of time so that I'm not late on it, but that was one of the requirements, was that you could not be late one time with it.
Yeah.
That actually was the only requirement, was that, you know, you had the minimum payment in, you know, you couldn't be later, that it would go up, I think it was 12%.
Yeah, and you know, and that's a question I've always wondered, and you're doing a wise thing, because you said you're a week ahead, and so you give them, you give the bill pay people plenty of time to get that money to them. But bill pay people just, they literally just mail a check off, right? So if that just wanders through the mail until it gets to them, you know, and the...
My bank does it electronically.
Oh, well, that's good. Anyway, good point, Skip. I got to run to my last caller tonight, okay?
I'll see you. Have a good night.
Thank you, man. Good. I'm going to be down on the Eastern Shore with you in about 2 weeks going rock fishing.
There you go.
Yeah, man. We're going to Pam in Pasadena. We're going to Pam. We're not going to Pam because Anita won't let us go to Pam. You know, Anita's kind of like godlike. You know, she can stop us from doing or, you know, not doing or anything.
She
anyway,
has the power.
Pam in Pasadena, how can we help you?
Hi. I'm getting ready to refinance my house.
Okay.
And I've been torn because I'm 60 years old. The loan officer is telling me I should go with a 30-year loan. And I don't know. He's saying, well, like, I'm already older, so why do I care if I leave a debt? But I'm thinking I'll work another 10 years, and if I took a 15-year, I would have...
Okay, this is a great question, Pam, okay? So let's address it. Are you single or married?
I'm single.
Okay. And are you working for a company?
Yes.
Okay. And does that company have a company pension plan that you can put money in monthly or per paycheck?
We just have a 401k.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was referring to. You do have a 401k. And how much are you putting into your 401k?
I was putting 15%. I just upped it as of May 1 to 20.
Okay, so you're 20%. And how much do you make in general? $20,000, $50,000, $100,000?
$75,000.
So 20% of $75,000 is $15,000. That's what you're putting into the plan, right?
Yes.
And how much is the monthly mortgage going to be on the 15-year mortgage without the taxes and the insurance? How much is the monthly payment going to be?
You know what? I'm not really sure.
Well, how much of a balance? How much of a balance are you going to take out?
It's $237,000.
$237,000. Okay. So you're going to, on the 15-year mortgage, you're going to be putting out about $1,500 a month, and on the 30-year mortgage, you're going to be putting out about $1,000 a month, $1,100 a month, something in that ballpark is my guess. And it looks like Chris has got his trusty calculator out. Do you?
I do.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me what's 237 at, you know, 3 3/4, we just heard today. 3 3/4 and 3 1/4, right? Isn't that what
oh,
we heard?
Now here's what he told me. He told me 4%.
4% on a 30-year loan right now?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm doing a streamline.
Oh. What do you do? Do you have a problem? I mean, how much is your house worth?
Well, he says it's not worth what he owes. because I bought during the boom.
Okay, so what do you think your house is worth?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
you think it's worth $200, or you think it's worth $300?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so is it worth $300?
No, I would think it's probably like two, maybe a little more.
Okay, so you probably are under one of those, government programs to refinance your mortgage. What interest rate are you currently at?
6.125.
Wow. So you definitely want to do this. So here's the stick.
But your number's right. 1,100 to 1,600.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, there's a $500 a month differential. You're putting in $15,000 a year into your 401k. All right. You can still do another $9,000 a year into your 401k. If you do a 15-year mortgage, you're going to be paying $6,000 after-tax money into your mortgage. If you took that and you did the 30-year mortgage and then took and raised your 401k up, you could raise your 401k to the full maximum 401k, $24,000, and your after-tax cash flow will be almost identical to if you took out that 15-year mortgage and paid the 15-year mortgage. And here's my point. You're probably in the highest tax bracket you'll ever be in right now. And by putting that more money into your 401k and making the smaller mortgage payment against on your house, the 30-year, not only will you have a lot more money in your 401k when you retire, even though you have a bigger balance on your house, but you'll have a lot more money in your 401k, there's a couple other neat things that'll happen here. Number one, there's a funny thing about mortgage companies. When you pay a 30-year mortgage in 15 years, they don't seem to complain. But if you took out that 15-year mortgage and all of a sudden your cash flow dried up for some reason and you wanted to try to pay in 30 years, they seem to get upset about that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know, so there's another advantage. And here's the third thing. One of the best ways to get debt-free in retirement is to sell your house in retirement and move into something less expensive in retirement. And I don't know if you intend to retire here in Maryland 10 years from now, but...
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but, you know, if you decided to move somewhere else, I'll bet you anything for the amount of net cash flow that you would have, you would probably be better off. And so I just believe that to take that extra money on a 30-year mortgage and not put it all against the 15 and put it into your 401k, it'll give you a lot more liquidity and a lot more decisions that you can make when you get into retirement, you know, 9-10 years from now. That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was saying, he said, I'll tell you what I would tell my mother. You know, you're going to have almost $500 additional money in cash a month.
Yeah.
Well, he was suggesting I take that and put half of it into my house, making an additional adding extra to the principal.
No, you're going to put it into your 401k, and unfortunately, Pam, I'm out of time. All right?
Okay.
You take care. Hit that max 401k. Pam, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.